Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Brain Builders Podcast. This is your host, Dr. John DeWitt, and today we're going to share a success story. Now, this is Jamie, one of the many people who has done extremely well on the Recode Protocol with Dr. Bredesen. She was kind enough to share her daily routine. Now, she's been on the program for 5 years, and so it has evolved as various risk factors have been addressed and is now quite extensive, but don't let that discourage you because each person's protocol is unique, optimized for his or her situation, and you can adopt elements of the program one at a time. Now, this is very intensive, but that's part of the reason that we're doing our online web class coming up September 7th, kind of simplify it and make it a little easier to understand because there's a lot of steps, as you'll hear with Jamie's story. She had been shocked to find out that she was homozygous for APOE4, which means she had both alleles for that, so got it from both parents, and had already developed significant cognitive problems at only 49. Becoming lost in familiar places, failing to recognize faces, and losing her memory. Until her genetic test, because of her age, she had not even considered the possibility that she was developing Alzheimer's disease. Unfortunately, one of their cousins then developed severe Alzheimer's disease starting at an even earlier age. Called a neurologist who specializes in Alzheimer's, and after waiting months for an appointment, was finally able to see him. She explained her genetic and symptomatic status, asking him to help her to avoid further decline and, if possible, restore her memory and cognition to what it had been. Brusquely, he said, "Good luck with that," offering no hope whatsoever. Sadly, neurologists are not, as a group, known for their bedside manner. And that's the problem, and that's one of the reasons that I am offering a free report, if you see some of my social media posts, that talks about that because it gives you something to take into your doctor's office and say, hey, what about this? And give you another something to add to your arsenal to give them options because they don't know what they don't know, and it's important to get this information out there. So, there are about 7 million Americans who carry two copies of the APOE4 allele, and more than 99% don't know it. Another 75 million Americans have a single copy of APOE4. And as you might imagine, learning your APOE status when you have already begun the process of cognitive decline is heartbreaking. Personally, my grandfather passed away from advanced Alzheimer's. My father has early onset dementia. So I have already decided to bite the bullet. I sent out my saliva to the 23andMe website and I'm going to get the information to find out if I personally have the APOE4 allele so that I can take the proper steps. But the thing is, regardless of if you have it or not, you can assume you do have it and do all the right steps to make sure you're doing everything you can to lower your risk. And that'll optimize your cognitive ability. I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer. So Jamie's cognitive evaluation showed her to be at only the 35th percentile for her age when she started treatment. However, after several months on the program, she noted marked improvement, and her cognitive evaluation rose to the 98th percentile. It remains there 5 years and counting later. Jamie has been extremely attuned to changes in her ability to think and remember, and has taken note of what seemed to help and what seemed to bother her. And Dr. Bredesen mentions that he's heard this repeatedly from people who have done very well. This is Jamie's daily routine, with thanks to Jamie for sharing it with everyone. Now, it's like I said, it's a five-year process, so she's really been fine-tuning this. All right. This is her daily routine. I wake up. Ideally without an alarm, not always possible, after 7 to 8 hours of sleep. So 7 to 8 hours of sleep is important for her. I skip breakfast and enjoy a cup of organic coffee, no cream, with a very small amount of 100% pure stevia. This is a necessity for me. I experienced both enormous cognitive and mood benefits from a small amount of coffee. If I feel very hungry, which is rare for me, I'll take a 1,000 milligram MCT, medium chain triglycerides, capsule in the morning to help me get into ketosis. She uses a ketone meter, which we are going to talk about in a future episode, and tries to keep her blood level of ketones in the range from 0.5 millimoles per liter to 2 millimoles per liter. And that's really something you have to focus on. Personally, I have been changing my diet slowly over to more of the ketogenic type diet, and I've only been able to get up to 0.3. So I haven't even gotten to the 0.5 yet, and she's in the 0.5 to 2. So it's something that really does take some serious effort. The ketone measures beta-hydroxybutyrate, one of the three so-called ketone bodies. This mild ketosis is induced by fasting, exercising, and eating a diet very low in carbohydrates and high in good fats. Jamie says that she uses the Ayurvedic practice of oil pulling with coconut oil for 5 minutes, then brush my teeth with a non-fluoride toothpaste. Oil pulling has been done for centuries. It reduces decay causing bacteria, whitens teeth, and improves the oral microbiome. And oil pulling is something that I personally have done, and it is something that takes some getting used to, but it actually, you can tell that it's good for you. That's all I can say. Jamie goes on to say that she tries to avoid any toxins in her cosmetics or toiletries. She uses an aluminum-free sunscreen and deodorant. She stopped using nail polish and uses coconut oil instead. In an effort to use the safest product, she checks all of her toiletries and cosmetics against the Environmental Working Group Skin Deep database, which is at www.ewg.org/skindeep. That's a good resource for you. She takes fish oil that includes 1,000 milligrams of DHA and curcumin prior to exercise, which she does to increase her BDNF, which is brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which supports neurons and has an anti-Alzheimer's effect. She walks and runs for 50 to 60 minutes every single day, even in very inclement weather with the proper gear. She finds very hot, cold, wet, snowy, windy weather to be invigorating. By challenging herself, she becomes stronger. Spending time in nature is also very healing and grounding for her. While she walks, she often listens to meditative music. Sometimes she challenges herself with cognitive tasks while she walks. She tries to say the alphabet backwards, count backwards from 100 by 9s, 8s, 7s, etc. I don't know about you, but that would be challenging for pretty much anybody that I can think of. Prior to officially breaking her fast, she drinks a glass of room temperature water with lemon and or ginger to detoxify. She eats her first meal of the day after noon, ending a 15 to 16 hour fast. That is something that Dr. Bredesen talks about. When you are APOE4 positive, you need to have, instead of a 12 hour fast from dinner until breakfast the next morning, it needs to be 16 hours if you can. A typical first meal for her would be two pasteurized high omega-3 eggs with a huge plateful of colorful local organic non-starchy vegetables. Broccoli, spinach, kale, and fermented vegetables are always among her core choices. She also includes a few sweet potato wedges or raw carrots for the vitamin A. She liberally uses high polyphenol EVOO extra virgin olive oil to finish her vegetables, along with dried sea vegetables for the iodine and pink Himalayan salt, fresh herbs, and spices to season. Now, she's 5 years she's been doing this, so just keep that in mind. Don't get overwhelmed. So, she flosses and brushes her teeth again and repeats this after each meal. Because remember, if you have any kind of bacteria or inflammation in the gums, that can affect your cognitive function. She takes the remainder of her morning supplements, which includes vitamin D3 and K2. She's very careful to take these two with dietary sources of vitamin A and fat to increase solubility and bioavailability. She also takes Alcar, acetyl L-carnitine, citicoline, ubiquinol, PQQ, which is polyquinoline, quinone, ginger, and a small divided dose of NAC, which is N-acetylcysteine. And alpha-lipoic acid, and she repeats these last two in the evening. Additionally, she takes vitamin B1, which is thiamine, to assist with glucose homeostasis, and methylcobalamin, methylfolate, and P5P, which is pyridoxal 5-phosphate, to keep homocysteine low. She also takes a VSL number 3 probiotic. As she works at her desk, she reminds herself to stand up and walk around for 10 to 15 minutes every hour. When she's working from home, this is a great opportunity to do household chores, laundry, sweeping, dishes, pulling weeds, raking, etc. She has learned to reframe chores as being positive as they enable her to be very active. Being grateful for the work also helps her to keep a positive attitude. She takes a twice weekly yoga class, which is very helpful for strengthening balance and centering, and she tries to practice daily. She sips organic Japanese green tea and one cup of bone broth, fat removed, throughout the day, but refrains from snacking. She strategically times her resveratrol and NAD supplementation to upregulate SIRT1 in order to get the best benefit. Some evidence suggests that they may interfere with the benefits of exercise when taken around the same time. Through personal experience, she's learned that they interfere with sleep if taken before bed, so she's settled on early to mid-afternoon, several hours after exercise, when she can still benefit from the energy boost. She usually takes a mid-afternoon break from work and challenges herself to a 20-minute brain training session. She uses both Lumosity and BrainHQ. I personally use BrainHQ, and it is phenomenal. She switches them up to keep it fresh for her. She tries to keep this fun and non-stressful. Her goal is to try to match or beat her score from the previous day. She likes to meditate after brain training. Just emptying her mind for 15 minutes has proven invaluable. She eats her second meal between 5 and 6 p.m. Dinner typically consists of wild-caught fish. Alaskan sockeye salmon is a favorite. She enjoys this with an enormous salad consisting of many mixed greens, red cabbage, avocado, nuts, seeds, and a wide variety of non-starchy vegetables. She uses pink Himalayan salt, sea kelp, granules, and fresh herbs and spices to season along with a high-quality balsamic vinegar, lemon, and lots of high polyphenol, EVOO, extra virgin olive oil. And she sometimes enjoys a very small amount, about 2 ounces, of a dry red wine like Cabernet. After dinner, she likes to walk again with her husband or a friend, socializing with neighbors along the way. She also enjoys kayaking on their lake after dinner. Several times per week, she indulges in dessert. She enjoys raw organic walnuts and sliced almonds with coconut flakes and a few wild organic berries drizzled with unsweetened kefir from A2 cows. With a small amount of 100% stevia to sweeten. Another treat would be a dark chocolate square, which is about 86% or higher cacao. She stops eating by 7 p.m. and tries to get to bed by 10. Several hours before bed, she puts on her blue blocker glasses, and she tries to dim the lights at this time and refrain from exercise or stimulating work or conversation. She also uses a program on her laptop, phone, and tablet that blocks blue light. She takes her evening supplements an hour or so before bed. Those include magnesium citrate. Magnesium threonate is too sedative for her. Ashwagandha and melatonin. She also takes a small dose of NAC, N-acetylcysteine, and alpha-lipoic acid along with a different probiotic, Megaspore Biotic. She uses a topical testosterone and estrogen in the evenings along with a twice-weekly transdermal estrogen patch and an oral dose of progesterone every evening. Because her husband is an airline pilot and often works odd hours, she sometimes sleeps in a separate bedroom when he has to wake up early or comes home in the middle of the night. She darkens the bedroom completely before sleep, and any source of light can interfere with melatonin production. As we've talked about, all electronic devices in the bedroom have radiation shields and are placed on airplane mode before sleep. She also keeps the bedroom cool and puts essential lavender or rosemary oil on the bed sheets to aid in the relaxation and promotes healthy sleep. As I said, do not panic. She's been doing this for 5 years, and she's very attuned to what she needs to do. As I said, also, if you register for the beta group of my web class coming up September 7th, we're going to cover all this and try to simplify it as much as possible. You can go to bit.ly/brainbuilders with an S, or click the link in the description of this podcast and register.